Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who once had 30 knots at Wontaw Pizza. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our recap episode at the merge at the edge of extinction. And today we're going to talk to a great Rob Has a Podcast guest, Randy Bailey from Survivor Gabon. Also of Survivor Heroes versus Villains. We're going to talk to Randy about everything that he's seeing here at the merge. Last night, had a spirited conversation with Stephen Fishback about the decision of who to vote out of the game. Was it Kelly? Was that the right decision? Was Joe the right decision? Plus everything from the edge. We all talked that through on the Survivor Know-It-Alls live after the episode like we do every single week. That's up on robisatwebsite.com. After Randy, you're going to talk to Haley Strong on our feedback show. Get your feedback questions in for that show. That should be a great one. Rob has a website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that. And then we will do our This Week in Survivor with Scott Chernoff, TV writer, Survivor podcaster. We'll catch up with him. And then the Wiggle Room is coming up. So get your wand offs in by Monday. Before we get Randy on the line, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. Those are our friends over at Legacy Box. And what Legacy Box does is that they take all of your home movies that you have on all of this old media that's hard to play, that you need wires or devices that just don't work to be able to access all of these great priceless home movies that we have. And what Legacy Box is going to do, they are going to send you a crate that is going to be secure to put all of your priceless movies in. You send them off to Legacy Box, you tag them with barcodes, and then they track it every step of the way, and they return to you either a DVD, a thumb drive, or a digital download so that you can be the hero of your family, so that your parents will talk about you to their friends and like, oh, do you know what my kid did? They took all of those home movies that were useless to me, and they turned them into something, and we watch it every day, and now that kid is my favorite now. That all the other kids are in second place, third place, fourth place, and this kid that listens to Rob as a Podcast that did Legacy Box is my new favorite kid, and your siblings won't like you anymore as much. They'll be jealous of you, but you will be the favorite, and you'll probably also get the best inheritance. I don't know what your situation is, but I'll tell you this, your family's going to really appreciate it when you go ahead and get those old movies transferred over with Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the world's largest and most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. So what are you waiting for? There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Go to LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time offer, they're offering our listeners a great exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob to get 40% off your first order. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob to save 40% today. Get started preserving your past at LegacyBox.com/Rob. All right, everybody. I am very excited to bring our guest in for this episode of the podcast. Here he is back with us for what I believe is his 71st appearance on Rob Has a Podcast. Please welcome two-time Survivor great and the king of Gabon, Mr. Randy Bailey. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Randy. I'm
seriously. What do you think the number is? Maybe 10 times, maybe 8 times.
So if I recall correctly, that you used to come on with me and then you didn't talk about that island show back in the early days of Rob's podcast. So there was like 3 or 4 years when you used to come on. And you would talk about different shows. We talked about The Apprentice and we talked about like other things that were on TV. But we didn't.
I remember
talk,
that.
You didn't talk about that island show. You'd call it
right. I was in my healing phase. Back
We're
then.
Healing, and
I'm healed. So.
And then somewhere along the way, then you started saying, "Okay, now I will talk about Survivor." We talked about The Biggest Loser one time, and then Richard Hatch got mad.
That's true.
So if I had to guess off the top of my head, I feel like this is like the 12th or 13th time that you're on.
Get your fact checker.
Okay, we'll find out after the show. What do you think? You think that's high or low?
Give me an over and under. We'll bet on it.
Okay. I'll say the over under is 10 and a half.
And is that, does any appearance count?
Are we counting like when you are on the Bachelor wrap ups and stuff like that?
And the time that you called me on that Christmas special with that girl?
Yes. So I would count the times that you were on with me, and I'm not counting times that you were on like the Bachelor wrap up.
Okay. And let's make it scheduled times where I knew at least a day or two in advance.
Sure.
Okay. And you're over and under is 10 and a half?
Yeah.
I'll go under.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. Let's see. What are we betting on then? If you win the bet, then I will give you that advice you were asking me for about starting your own podcast.
I don't recall this.
What do you want if you win?
You've already given me this microphone, so we'll just make it a gentleman's bet.
Gentleman's
That's fine
bet.
With me.
Okay. Randy, how's everything going? Are you still teaching?
I am. Things are going great.
Okay. That's good.
Enjoying it. I'm still planning on moving to Texas in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. Just got back from Texas last week. I was in Lubbock at a job fair. So
okay. What part of Texas?
This was West Texas.
Okay. Is that where you're planning on going? West Texas?
It's an option.
Okay.
Being certified in math makes me the hot commodity. So there's a real shortage of math teachers.
Okay. All right.
So I can go anywhere I want, actually.
All right. Well, that's good. You are...
Geographically, I'm speaking, that is.
Yeah. As opposed to what?
As opposed to a school by school basis. Okay. There could be some, like, I probably couldn't teach at the Ron Clark Academy.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Yeah, who knows? I'm saying if I want to teach in Houston, I can. If I want to teach in Dallas, I can. If I want to teach in San Antonio or Austin, I can.
Okay. All right. Well, Randy, here we are. We're at the merge of the Survivor Edge of Extinction. And I am very interested to know how you're feeling about this season.
It's great.
Oh,
I love it.
I'm surprised.
No, yeah. Before we get started, because I'm going to be slinging some mud on this podcast.
Okay, that's fine.
Every character that I drag through the mud, I am speaking of their the character in the show, the way they're edited, the way they're portrayed.
Yeah,
it's not personal. Just I love each and every one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, I'm going to say, right. I'm probably not going to say nice things about any of them.
I appreciate that, Randy, that have things changed where that's necessary to put that disclaimer out there? Like 5 years ago, would that disclaimer have been necessary?
I don't know. No, I admit it. I've mellowed a little bit. I'm a little bit, I don't get off on hurting people's feelings.
Right. Right.
Certain people I do, but not, people I've never met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't know these people in real life.
Right. Right. Right.
Okay. All right. So
a couple of them I know, but
a couple of them. Yeah. I had saw a tweet and I had, looked through your social media before we came on. You said that about the season, you like 75% of the returning players in this season.
That's correct.
That's correct. Can I deduce who you do like?
Well, if you can't figure out the math, I'm a math teacher.
You're some math certified. I'm not.
75% means that I like three of them.
Three of them. Yes.
If you.
Yes. So is the outlier Joe?
Well, Joe is fine. He seems like a hell of a nice guy. unbelievable at challenges. You know, everybody knows that. I just can't get past making out with his father. And
but on the loved ones visit?
Yes. And I can't get past that video he made with Kelly Wigglesworth.
Why? Because it wasn't edited well?
No, it was edited fine. It was just stupid.
I feel like that you and Joe have a lot in common, that you guys are both good in the challenges, both alphas. I would think that you guys would both be able to have some common ground, both outdoorsmen.
Well, are you being facetious?
No, I'm being serious.
No one has ever compared me to Joe Anglin before.
Not even in your younger days, Randy?
I wasn't in his league. Mm-hmm. I was a decent weekend athlete, but not mm-hmm. his league. Okay. I rewatched the episode today, and I realized that I'd been a little hard on him. He seems like a really sweet, sensitive guy.
Yeah.
It's just you don't kiss your father on the mouth, and you don't make stupid videos.
I don't even remember the thing about kissing his dad on the mouth. So what happened? His dad came for the family visit, and he kissed him on the mouth?
Yes, and it looked like there was tongue.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't remember.
I don't really remember that being a thing.
It was a thing. You know, yeah. it still keeps me up at night.
Was it like an accidental like thing or like that that he went?
No, they were both aiming for the mouth, and it was a bullseye.
It wasn't like a Stephen Fishback aiming the slingshot deal, and it was just a misfire.
No, it wasn't.
Accidental collision.
And I shouldn't judge him for that. You know, my family was like.
Then nobody should kiss anybody on the mouth on the Survivor loved ones visit. These people have been out there for 31 days. They're disgusting.
I agree.
So, all right. And you didn't like the video with Kelly Wigglesworth, but other than that, no personal issue.
No, I've never met him. He's obviously a nice guy.
Yeah, and I think he gets a bad rap, Joe, because he doesn't do anything to anybody. People just don't like that he wins the challenges and he's can be boring on TV.
Right. And, you know, I heard Gabby, I think it was Gabby, called him vanilla when you asked her the ice cream flavor questions. And I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, I love that you listen to the podcast.
I do listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. I have, I'm substitute teaching right now. So I'll have a planning period during the day for an hour, hour and a half. And mm-hmm. That's what I do. I fire up your podcast and makes the day go a little faster.
All right, Randy. So you are a purist of the game. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
You hate immunity idols. You one time found the hidden immunity idol and threw it in the ocean.
Didn't need it at the time.
Didn't need it. So here we are with the Edge of Extinction twist now making a big mark on the game this season. How did you feel about how this all came together last night?
Just last night or the whole season?
What? Let's start with last night in terms of with Rick returning to the game.
You know, Rick was my winner pick.
Mm-hmm.
And
why?
Just kind of middle of the road, you know, mm-hmm. not. You know, he's working that beer gut and a nice smile and obviously was going to be a likable guy and, decent at challenges. You know, just like I said, middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often, you know, that's often the kind of guy that wins.
Mm-hmm. OK, so you were happy. You felt vindicated when Rick came back.
Well, I was okay with Rick coming back. I was happy for him, but I gotta admit, I was pulling for Wendy.
Wendy,
as much as she has annoyed me this season, I was full on pulling for Wendy.
Why? What was the turnaround for you with Wendy? Because if I recall, you were tweeting about how Wendy was annoying you so much when she was going to let out the chickens.
And she was, you know, mm-hmm. the stuff with the chicken and stealing the flint. That's a game I don't respect.
Right.
You know, I was accused of stealing the machete
right when Russell sabotaged the camp, and then he was trying to create chaos, and you were the person who they blamed for that mischief that Russell was up to.
Exactly, and I don't even know why I brought that up, because I was.
She stole the flint. It's the same thing, and then maybe they blamed Chris for it at first.
Yeah, and it's just not, Survivor's hard enough, with it doesn't need a character like that. So I Wendy, early Wendy, Abby Maria, Sugar, they should never be on the show.
Okay.
They're just too much of a wild card. And, I'm sure the viewers love to watch that crap, but, it's not fun to play with it.
Okay, so how did you go from she shouldn't be on the show to I hope she gets back in now?
Well, she was, but before the challenge, I would have given odds of her making it back in probably 1 in 1,000. And, why?
No, those are stiff odds.
Yeah, wouldn't you put it pretty close to that?
I don't think 1 in 1,000. I think
1 in 100.
No, I think that's still high.
1 in 40.
I don't know. 1 in 10. I think for Wendy. I think really? 1 in 15.
But you saw, she was half a second away from winning, and she hasn't pulled any stealing the flint type stunts in the last couple of weeks, and all we've done is see her smile and laugh, and she's got a good attitude, and I ended up liking her.
Okay. She doesn't get back in. Rick does, and then they end up sending the people who didn't win the Extinction Island challenge back to Extinction Island. Were you okay with that, Randy, that now these people have another chance at the game?
Yeah, I was okay with that. I would have been okay, actually either way. I think sending them home makes more sense. I'm sure Aubrey's going to hate me for saying that, too many chances. It's just getting crazy.
A lot of chances. So when,
but with that being said, it's, I love it that when big characters, everybody's in the show, you can stay in the show as long as you want. You don't have to go on the pre-jury trip. These seasons where a big character is voted out first, second, or third. I'm sure casting hates that. This is the remedy.
Randy, would you have been excited to go to Extinction Island in Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah, I saw that. I looked on Twitter before we started this, and I saw that question from someone. And I was pretty disgusted with the whole thing.
Right.
So honestly, I'm not sure, but I hope that I would have stayed in the game just to give it a day or two to cool off and see what was coming.
Yeah. Could have been you get there, you're greeted by Sugar.
By Sugar, and who else
Stephanie
was there?
Stephanie LaGrossa.
That's right, Stephanie. and Sheree.
It would have been great TV. Why didn't they think of this earlier, Extinction Island?
Yeah, that would have, I think we would have, I don't know. Maybe there needs to be another level from Edge of Extinction, Extinction to the very, very edge of Extinction, where you could go from there.
Yeah.
Is that a step up
or a step down? Then you
step down.
You get further. You get voted further out of the game. They vote somebody out of the Edge of Extinction. They need a tribal council. Vote somebody out of there, and they go to Beyond the Edge, where they can find an idol. It's like the Sugar Shack.
Yeah. So, Yeah, to answer that question honestly, it would have been close. I might have just quit.
Right.
I'd like to think that I would have stayed in just to give it some time, because you never know what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, plus we don't know how the prize money is going to be done.
Right.
In my book, Keith and Wendy should be the two lowest on the totem pole. Cause in my book, Aubrey, Reem, and Chris went farther than they did.
Yeah, that'll be a good question for these players when they get out of the game. Yeah, they probably
don't know yet. Because when I went through the game, I didn't know what the money structure was until a week after the finale when we started talking about, hey, how much do you get? How much do you get?
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm like, Crystal, you got what?
Yeah. Well, and there was a moment when we were out there in the Amazon where Jenna and Heidi were saying that, you know, fourth place is this. I'm like, are you sure? That sounds high. I don't think it's that. I think you guys are wrong about that.
What'd she say fourth place got?
I feel like it was like 75,000. I feel like was what she said, if I remember the conversation correctly. I'm like, that sounds high.
Third is 75.
I think they lowered it somewhere along the way also.
Oh, really?
Okay. But I remember that I had to like way down the road, I like Googled a article that like Kathy Vavrick O'Brien was talking about what she got for third place. I was like, oh, this is, I was excited. I was pumped up. But yeah, they don't tell you any of this. I don't know if they feel like that people won't play as hard or what.
See, it ought to be. You know, our contract should be kind of like Major League Baseball. There should be clauses where you get an extra grand for each confessional.
Ooh.
You get $500 if you make somebody cry. You get you get $1,000 extra.
You want performance bonuses in the contract.
Yes.
You want to unionize the reality stars.
Yeah, I do. You know, I had in Gabon, I think I had 36 confessionals to Bob's 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I have talking with the specialist, Philip, I know that was something he was upset about, that he felt like that he should have gotten more money because he made the show. He felt like that they used him. And that they should pay by how much entertainment you bring to the show.
That's a valid point.
You stand with Philip. Yeah. All right. Well, we can rethink the Survivor CBS contracts another day. Let me ask you about Keith and Wendy, who raised the mast. Were you surprised that we saw people tap out from Extinction Island, Randy?
Yeah, that didn't make sense. I just finished my rewatch about 20 minutes ago, and you see Wendy and Keith celebrating with everybody else from the edge one second, and then they go to a commercial, and you come back, and they're raising the flag. that was just crazy.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Do you begrudge them for wanting to check out of the Extinction Island?
You know, I'm sure they knew nothing about the prize money structure. Like I said,
yeah,
before,
it was not a consideration,
but I'm sure both of them knew that the chances of either one of them winning or even going deep was not going to happen.
Right.
There's just so for in their situation, they, you know, I don't really begrudge their call. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not there. I wasn't there. So I don't, you know, I've been there, but I wasn't there then.
But for Wendy, I mean, she just got there. Like, I you would think that she would like wait for the dust to settle a little bit. I mean, it seemed a little hasty for her.
Yeah. Plus, as close to, as she was to winning to come back into the game. But. Yeah, but you know, it's tough when everybody's against you. You never felt it. I felt, you know,
who's against her there?
Well, everybody liked her okay, but none of them really took her real seriously. You know, she was the Flint stealer. She was the chicken freer.
Yeah. Yeah, but Reem was her friend.
That's true, but Reem wasn't in the game, and neither was Keith. Keith was her friend too, but
yeah. All right, so they're out, and we're down to just 16 people now in the game. Randy, let me ask you about this tribal council, because this was something Steven and I were getting into last night in terms of this decision of the new players, this comma six. They decided either Joe or Kelly, and I felt like they made the right decision. Steven felt like they should have knocked out Kelly. Do you have a strong opinion on this?
I do have a strong opinion. And my opinion is, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Kelly's days are numbered.
Okay.
It appears. I hadn't really thought about that too much, but you got to figure they're thinking, or they should be thinking, the chances of Joe coming back is 75% plus. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
That's a
60%.
Yeah, plus? I'll say 50%, because I mean, there's going to be a lot of other people. I mean, that potentially when they bring somebody back later in the game, it could be, you know, 9 other people, you know, that Joe is up against.
Right.
So that's just a big field. And we don't know what the challenge is going to be. He lost to Julie in a challenge last night.
And as the game gets later, we may see more quitters when they see the decision, you know. Mm-hmm. The ones we've seen up to now were, you know, relatively fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
when you're 30 days in and it's like, well, I'm not going to be Joe in the challenge. Let me just go to Ponderosa at this point.
Yeah. Some of that might come into play.
Yeah. But now if you raise the mast on day 30, are you not on the jury? Like, okay, we get it that, okay, you know, Wendy and Keith, they were pre-jury anyway. But if you go that far and then you raise the mass on Extinction Island, does that count as a quit and you're not on a jury? Because even Nayanka and Purple Kelly were on the jury.
So you're saying that the number of jurors is not carved in stone? It could go down?
I mean, so Reem is the first boot. She's on Extinction Island. She's on the jury. Keith and Wendy are on Extinction Island. They raise the mast. They're not on the jury now. So if you get voted out after the merge and you raise the mast, are you also too, like, is raising the mast also, I don't want to have a vote on the jury?
Yeah, I don't know. It's it'll be interesting to see what happens. But what should happen, if Reem raises the mast, she's gone.
Right.
If someone on day 27 raises the mast and, you know, they're fifth one left or something, they're on the jury.
That's interesting, too. So Reem is like, she could lose the jury that if she raises the mast, she's because it'll be weird if it's like, all right, let's bring in the people from the Edge of Extinction. Now let's bring in the people from Ponderosa.
See, she shouldn't be on the jury either way. She doesn't know. She's never met 10 people in the game.
Dude.
No, please listen. I listen to your podcasts. The only thing more annoying than listening to Reem is listening to your imitation of Reem.
And screw you, dude.
I'm not putting up with it. This podcast is over right now if it happens again. I'm serious.
All right. I don't want to test my luck 20 minutes in here. Okay. So I think this is a really interesting question because, yeah, I think that if somebody ends up raising the mast, then I think they're going to be off the jury.
The whole way?
Yeah. I think let's say this week Aurora gets voted out. She goes to Edge of Extinction and she says, you know what? I'm going to raise the mast. And I think she's not on the jury then.
Well, we will see. But, you know, Reem has no business on the jury. And Yeah, because Reem, you know, she was gone in 2.5 days. She never saw a swap. Like I said, she doesn't know 10 people that are out there. And, you know, in Gabon.
And the people she knows, she doesn't like.
Yeah, that's true. And in Gabon, Marcus was the first juror, if you remember.
Yes.
And if Maddie, who got fourth place, had made it into the final three, Marcus would have been voting for a winner, never even having met Maddie. So,
yeah,
you know, that's not right.
That's it happens. It happens in these seasons with big juries. And I think in Heroes versus
Gabon had a very small jury.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the last time that they had only seven with a three person with a final three.
I think the only time, isn't it?
Maybe.
I've said that before in somebody
China somebody. Also, but that you know that you had a situation where you know people it could have been like a 3-3-1. It's messy.
And I'm not saying this about Gabon, but I might be. you know, there's some production might be just keeping their options open right now because they don't know if everybody's going to quit. They don't know if everybody's going to raise the flag. They don't know if what the numbers are going to be. So, you know, I think the situation could be still fluid at this point.
Mm-hmm. So Joe didn't win the challenge last night, and we saw Ron try to turn the vote around of like, let's put our votes on Joe. And Steven felt like that they needed to, you know, keep Joe around for another vote or two and then knock out Kelly while they had the chance. I really loved the way that they ended up having this group of returnees coming after each other, because the danger I felt like in talking this through last night was, okay, well, now there's still six of them between the three returning or the returning players that are left in David, Kelly, War Dog, Lauren, Aurora, and Devins, that six could potentially vote against this six. But as I was thinking about it more this morning, there's no way that group of six is voting together. That if we see Julie come to Devins and say, all right, guys, tonight's the night, it's Wentworth. I am telling you, David Wright and Devins are going to be writing down Wentworth again.
Yep. You're right.
This group cannot function together against vice versa. If they come to Kelly Wentworth and say, all right, let's vote out David Wright tonight. She's writing down David Wright.
Yeah. And I was daydreaming a little bit about your earlier question about voting out Joe or Kelly, thinking about Kelly's edit up to now, she has gotten. She has gotten a ton of airtime, both good and bad. And I got to think, you know, the production in me has got to think that they were using her while they could.
Yeah.
You
think Kelly could follow Joe out the door this week
or the next week? I think she could very possibly go this week.
Yeah. They seemed more threatened by Kelly. That we heard Julie and some of the other returning players talk about how they want to knock her out. They don't seem to talk that way about David Wright. Why?
Well, I said this at the beginning of the season, that David, of all the four returnees, David had the best shot because, you know, he was the only two-time player. Mm-hmm. And he's probably... you know, no offense, David, but you probably agree with me. You were probably the least known of the four. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, but he played in the season with all these other
people. All four are superstars in the Survivor ranks, but David, it was, you know, not quite as visible.
Not to take anything away from him as a player, but in terms of as a Survivor star, probably the least high profile.
And with that being said, you know, he's fourth most popular, and he's still ahead of like 530 other survivors that didn't get asked to be in his position. So, you know, don't take offense, David, if you're listening.
I don't think that he minds. I think he would. He's self-deprecating. I think he would be fine with that assessment. Now, you, if memory serves, you've done a lot of podcasting with Kelly Wentworth.
We were together a time or two with Haley and Amy doing a Bachelor or Bachelorette podcast a few years back.
Yes. And so, how much did you guys collaborate on your Bachelor drafting?
We took it pretty seriously. We did our homework and talked several times before the actual podcast. Then had the podcast, kept in touch. We hung out in California at the Reality Rally a few years back. Met Dale, but Kelly's a great girl.
Now, can you give us any insight into, can you get inside her head in terms of what she was thinking coming into this merge, where it seemed like to me that the obvious move would have been to keep her tribe together, bring in Joe and Aurora and Devins, and then they would have seven going up against this comma six. Instead, she wanted to go after the internal threats in Devins and David. Why do you feel like she thought that was the right decision?
Yeah, I don't know. See, you do this podcast for a living, and you study the show, and I couldn't even tell you who was on the original tribes.
It should be easy by now.
Well, it's
they stick together.
Yeah, they do. And, Kelly's not, as the game goes, she's not watching the show like you and I are. So she doesn't, and I've said this before, I've compared the game / show to watching professional poker. When you're at home and you get to see everybody's hand
and idols and cards. Yeah,
right. You can say, what a dumbass. If you're there when, the guy's wearing some sunglasses and you can't see his hand, it's a little bit more difficult. I don't know. Some insight about Kelly. And this isn't from me knowing her and from me hanging out with her, but it's, I have a lot of trouble with her when she jumps into the water feet first and she holds her nose.
You don't like that.
I teach swim lessons sometimes, and I've got 5-year-olds that don't hold their nose when they jump in.
What advice would you give to Kelly about how to jump in the water?
Don't hold your nose.
Don't hold your nose. Well, will she get water in her nose if she doesn't hold her nose? Because Randy, I think I too would hold my nose when I jump in the water.
Well, if you, and I'm sure there's a bunch of swimmers listening. When you're learning how to do it, you slowly exhale through your nose when you dive in. As long as the air is moving that way, water is not going to come up.
I slowly exhale. But I think that it's scary when you jump that you want to be like,
well, there's water people and there's non-water people. You can tell. And I grew up in the water. You can tell what's her name, Aurora. After a challenge, she'll do a perfect dive into the water with, her toes pointed and not even a splash. And then you'll see
water person.
Then you'll see, Lauren and Kelly jump in Lauren does a belly flop with her head up and Kelly is not much more graceful. And please don't get mad at me, Kelly. I guess you can. It doesn't really matter. But at this point,
you're just instructor, you are pointing something out that you see.
Well, yeah. And not just that. I don't. And there's probably going to be the majority of listeners out there are going to disagree with me on this. But I compare Kelly Wentworth to, as much as I love her, I compare her to Stephanie LaGrosso.
Okay.
Stephanie,
who would have been on the edge of extinction with you and Sugar.
No, not in the edge of extinction. Yeah, but Stephanie in her first season was edited to be this incredible challenge beast. But if you think about it, they lost every single challenge, and there has to be a reason. And I have talked with several on that tribe, and it wasn't Koror. What was the other tribe? Yulong.
Yeah.
Yulong. And I've talked to, what's the redneck from Alabama's
James.
Name? James. And I've talked to many of them.
Yeah.
And they have all let me in on a little secret that Stephanie sucked at all the challenges and was the reason that they continued to lose. And I'm thinking Kelly has a little bit of Stephanie LaGrossa syndrome.
Mm-hmm. And by that, you mean that you feel like that she got a good edit her last time out? Is that what you're saying? Not that she's bad in the challenges. And
she's not. No, she's not bad. If it's on land, she's not bad. But, you know, she looks great with the flowing blonde hair and the big, broad shoulders and the tight stomach. But she's no, you know, I would put Aubrey up against her 7 days a week.
Yeah. Well, I think that the thing that they do share, Stephanie and Kelly, is that both of them, you know, Stephanie in her first season and Kelly in her second, were incredible underdog stories where that Stephanie was the only person left from her tribe and Kelly is like left for dead and she's finding idols. So as a TV audience, you know, we root for them. Now, Kelly is sort of, you know, finding herself in that position again here as another underdog, but it didn't have to be that way.
What do you mean it didn't have to be that way?
Well, there was an opportunity where they had the numbers this week. Or could have potentially had the numbers this week.
Like I said earlier, she's not seeing what we're seeing. She's not seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah. Now,
you know, there's tons of mistakes made. You know, some you see, some you don't see. You know, we're not shown everything, but you know, the biggest mistake made was Wendy's mistake when it was, you know, 4-4 going to tribal council.
Yeah. What did she do wrong?
She could have gone with, you know, she could have flopped from the beginning.
Yeah.
And said, I'm with you guys. Who do you want to take out?
Yeah.
Eric or Victoria or what's his name? Gavin.
Yeah.
You guys pick and I will write it down.
I agree.
I want to stay.
Yeah. She came in and was like, hey, no, I'll flip David Wright.
She was the most powerful person in that tribal council of eight.
Yes. Yeah. And they ultimately, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago where War Dog was taking a long time to make a decision and was talking about voting out the swing vote. Ultimately, that's kind of what they did was that they voted out the person who had the power to make that decision. And if she would have just done anything like pulled the Sandra to get through that tribal council, then she could have definitely made it through that night.
She would have definitely made it through the night. And even if she was lying and didn't flop, didn't switch like she said she would, then it'd still just be a 4-4 tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one, Randy, in terms of Wendy staying in the game. So
I know that's not the episode that we're discussing. No,
we could discuss anything you want from the Survivor or even not from Survivor.
Okay. Let's talk about American Idol.
Do you watch American Idol?
Nah, no, I was just kidding. Yeah.
I didn't think so.
I do every now and then.
Yeah. So, Randy, this side now with Kelly and Devins and Lauren, they have three idols. So half the people that are now on this side that all voted for each other, they all have their idols. So what... Well, yes.
Does Devins have it 100%?
Yes.
Or is he sharing it with...
He has half it and David has half. So between the two of them, they have an idol now.
Well, you saw in the previews, you saw on next week that David is saying, I've got to find a new path to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells me that he's saying Devins is not the man anymore.
You think so? You think that he's talking about Devins or he's talking about his original tribe?
I don't know. And speaking of Devin's idol, what do you think about You know, Devin's got through the tribal council fine last night, but I was thinking, what if he had just put the idol around his neck without telling David that it was half and half, just put the whole thing around his neck and say, I found this at Extinction Island, and, you know, I'm playing it tonight in the first tribal council.
So,
and then after that, he could have said, he could have told David, he said, David, nope, I lied. Here's your half.
Okay. So I think that the rules of it were he had to give it to somebody before the tribal council. Like, so he could have said, you know what, I'm going to use it as a fake idol. And I think he could have held it, but I don't think it would have had any power for going on beyond that if he didn't give half to somebody else.
Well, I mean, talk about an extraordinary fake idol. You know, this there's no way this could be mistaken for a fake idol.
You would not think that this was a fake idol, especially the way that it's cut in half. Right.
So, you know, maybe that would have bought him more. And, you know,
I think he did fine with it ultimately. Yeah. Because now they have this idol moving forward. But the question that I just can't wrap my mind around is, if you're now this group of new players, you've done everything right. You've kept your six strong. You've done everything that we've said. Okay, new players come in, vote out the returnees. They voted out Aubrey. They voted out Joe. They've stuck together. They have not turned on each other the way that Kelly and David are going after each other. They've done everything right. Yeah, and
talk about some savvy newbies.
Yeah.
I am impressed. I mean, Gavin, Eric, Victoria, you know, they're chewing these returnees up and spitting them out.
Yeah. But now that we have three idols now on that side, though. So this is a situation where they could do everything right. And then three of them could get idled out of the game now here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. This is I'm liking this season.
How do they play this, Randy?
How do the three with idols play it?
No, or? How do the people that don't have the idols play it?
They got to go for the pagong.
Yeah. So what do they, and just pick somebody and then hope that they don't have the idol?
Pick some, and you know, they might need to do some misdirection, like to you know, to flush them.
Yeah.
And you know, we're taking out Wentworth tonight, and then vote for somebody that, you know.
Yeah. You know, Randy, not to pile on Kelly in this podcast, but I was thinking this through some more this morning.
Pile on her.
No, well, even though I don't want to be like results oriented, and maybe the listeners will reject this, but Kelly should have played her idol last night. No.
No, obviously.
No.
Because she wasn't voted out.
She wasn't voted out, but that she easily could have been. She easily could have gone. If not for Ron Clark, that vote was coming.
Somebody made her feel safe.
Yeah, six votes were coming for Kelly Wentworth. And only because Ron Clark changed things. I don't think it was because Kelly read that the votes changed to Joe Anglum and that it wasn't going to be her.
Yeah. She
got very lucky.
She got real lucky. But I, for some reason, I'm thinking about Russell Hance in the first episode of Australian Survivor, or second episode of Australian Survivor, when he was sent home with an idol in his pocket. And he said, not playing the idol was the right move. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
So you got to use the opposite of that and say, Kelly absolutely made the right move because it worked. She still got it.
It worked, I don't think that she had the right read there. I think she was just fortunate that ultimately they changed their votes, especially once they start talking about how, oh, we're not going after them. We're going after somebody who's a threat. And Ron is talking about how I love Kama. I feel like that the clues were there that they were going after the returning player and not that the votes were not coming for Devins.
Yeah, and if you remember Kelly in Cambodia, she didn't tell anybody about her idol.
Right.
Either one of them, which was the only way that they worked as well as they did.
Mm-hmm.
I am shocked, you know, this season that Kelly told Lauren, and I'm equally shocked that Lauren told Kelly. I mean, Lauren was playing that perfectly
right.
for a week or so, and then she just had to open her mouth.
Okay.
And
so can I guess, you know, I was talking about like, what is Kelly thinking? And Steven sort of hinted at this last night. Do you think that Kelly feels like, all right, let me get Devin's out. Let me get David Wright voted out. Okay. That gets me down to now we're at 11. And then we'll get when they think, okay, then it's safe that they don't have idols. They would have played them by now. Then we'll figure out when I'm going to get voted out, I'll play my idol. I'll knock somebody out from their side. And then we have your idol, and then we'll knock somebody out from their side again. And then we'll be able to have some momentum after we do a couple of successful idol plays.
Does anybody else know about Kelly and Lauren's two idols?
No, I don't think they've said anything.
And nobody else knows about David and, Devin's idol.
That's right.
Yet. I mean, that's brand new. So,
but if Kelly and Lauren feel like, okay, well, once we knock out a couple other targets from their side, then we'll know the right night that we're going to play our idols, and then we'll knock out people from their side.
Yeah. And I don't know. I have no evidence to back this up, but I just got the feeling today with my rewatch that David was possibly going to play the idol and save himself next week.
Okay. We'll see. Randy's calling his shot on that one.
We'll see. You know, there's a lot of big ifs on that. You know, now, Devin's would have to give it up.
Last time you were on the podcast, do you remember what your hot take prediction was last season?
That I don't remember what.
So it was, so I believe similarly, we talked 6 weeks in last season. It happened to be emerged.
I do remember.
Yes.
Yes.
What was it?
I picked Allison to win.
You said Dr. Allison going to win the season.
And I was wrong, but it had some merit.
Yeah.
And I listened to the podcast with Dr. Allison, and she appreciated me.
Yes. Yeah. Was that an edit read that you felt like Dr. Allison was going to win?
Yeah, 100% edit read.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you have your patented Randy Bailey edit read winner pick for this season?
I mean, make fun of it, but I'm batting 100%.
What, 1 out of 10 seasons?
No,
you get right?
I'm 1,000% batting.
You didn't get Dr. Allison right?
No, I mean, I'm always wrong.
Oh, you're always wrong. Okay.
I've never... you know, anybody right now, anybody could win this game,
mm-hmm.
Except Reem can't win it. Aubrey can't win it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris can't win it.
Mm-hmm.
But strangely, I think Devin's has a chance. Even
well,
so
he's in the game. Like,
right,
he's
even though he was out of the game, he was like, if you remember his tribal council, when they voted him out, mm-hmm. they didn't want to vote anybody out, but they had to vote somebody out. You know, Devin's didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Well, for Devin's, I think that for all these people that he has this constituency of the edge of extinction, where if he does make it to the final three, he can sit there and be like, I plotted, I schemed, I played hard, I won challenges, but I know what it was like for you guys out there. I lived that edge of extinction life. I'm one of you. I felt your pain.
I also think Joe can win it.
Yeah, I mean that's
he's not made any mistakes except just being Joe.
He didn't double cross anybody. He I guess maybe David Wright might feel like a little bit like, hey, why is Joe, you know, coming for me at the merge? But no, I don't think anybody's mad at Joe.
If I had to. Yeah, you're going to have to start having me on later in the season, so my odds are better. But if I had to make a pick right now, I'd go with Gavin.
Gavin.
And the, you know, it's almost like he rehearses what to say at tribal council when Probst is trying to get incriminating information out of him. He dances around it like he's played this game three times.
Yeah. Okay. Randy, I have a lot of questions for you from the audience that I want to start to incorporate in what we're talking about. But I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here for the podcast today. And those are friends over at Sharper Image, who bring you the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket. Go to calmingcomfortblanket.com to check it out for the best night's sleep of your life, Randy.
Rob.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Just thanking our sponsors over at Common Comfort Weighted Blanket for anybody who has trouble going to sleep at night.
You told me earlier in this podcast that we could talk about anything I wanted to talk about.
Right.
I do not want to talk about comfort weighted calming blankets.
In fact, I want you to stop
right now. I don't want to talk about them.
Okay. All right. We apologies to our friends over at Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket. All right. Randy doesn't want to talk about
I'm not sorry a bit, Calming Comfort Weighted Blankets. You don't get any of my
Randy,
time. I am a busy man.
Okay. All right.
Move on.
Okay. Let me ask you some of these questions, try to collect myself. Randy, let's see. Here's a comment for you. This is from Soy Gonzalo on Twitter. As someone who has played with people who are wild cards and are big characters, is it better to vote them out immediately or bring them to the end as goats?
Immediately. Because if they make it halfway, they're going all the way.
Yeah, Randy, I feel the same way about this. And I love them on my TV, but I feel like that if I was to ever play the game again, I would have to get rid of all these people because they are the people that are going to just clog things up. You don't know what they're doing, that you think that, oh, they're a pawn. Oh, they're going to be easy to beat in the end. And then, you know, you bring them so far, they're a vote against you to knock you out of the game. And they take up a spot in the final three.
Yep. And they get zero votes.
and they get zero votes.
That's an easy question.
Yeah.
Get them out first, second. And because if they make it halfway, you can't get them out.
Yeah.
Because any real player left in the game is taking them to the end and they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Do you like my thoughts on this, Randy? I say keep the threats.
Sure. We agree 100% on this.
Because you could reason with the threats.
Yes. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. These other people,
I bet it's nice having a podcast where you agree with somebody instead of Fishback.
Oh, instead of just being contrarian for the sake of being contrarian?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is such a nice conversation, Randy.
Sure. And you are the best know-it-all or greatest know-it-all or whatever you call it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Steven attacked me on Twitter last night. And
you were minding your own business.
I was making a little joke and he got all bent out of shape.
You were making
and he got personal.
A little joke that you said on Twitter that I haven't seen this much crying since Steven Fishback was on Second Chances. That was harmless, right?
Yeah, it was just a tweet, you know, just being funny.
Yeah. And then he clapped back at you, Randy. He
got personal.
He came after you. He came for your wig. He said, "What about when you didn't get asked back for a third chance?"
See, and I got a problem with that statement because, you know, last I checked, Survivor is still going on.
That's right.
And until the show is canceled, his statement is completely false. You know, for all he knows, I could be the first 6-time player of Survivor.
That's right.
He doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know that I didn't talk to Mark Burnett this morning about season 40. So take that, Fishback.
Take that, Steven. Now, recently, another Survivor alumni was tweeting about Survivor 40. and Johnny Fairplay was responding to a tweet that I believe that Davey had made, where Davey talked about how, you know, a year ago he was somebody who was all upset about that he was not cast on the show. And
I remember
Johnny Fairplay responded, yeah, that's me this year. And you tweeted, Johnny, S40 could be 100% returning players with two tribes of 200. And the theme could be Ponderosa Troublemakers versus Survivors Assaulted by the Partridge Family. And neither one of us is getting the call.
I remember. and Johnny commented, I don't think he was...
he wasn't amused, I bet, right?
I don't think he appreciated my candidness.
You're a Ponderosa troublemaker?
I've got that reputation, I think.
Survivors assaulted by the Partridge Family with a 200-person tribe. That was a good one, Randy.
Thank you. Okay. And how many of your listeners do you think know what I'm talking about with the Partridge Family?
I'd say probably 28%.
Okay.
You're we'll playing in the back of the room, but I think that it's appreciated. I wish Stephen Fishback could appreciate you.
Yeah, I might have to mute him or something.
Yeah. Did you say something bad about JT at some point? Is that why he's upset?
Oh, I have said.
And you made that video about Cochran. So you came for all of his friends. So maybe that's why he's upset with you.
Well, you know, I said this years ago and I stand by it, that JT is the worst Survivor player in the history of the show.
Didn't he win?
That doesn't matter. You got to average.
He won in a final tribal council, Randy.
You got to average his whole career. He's the worst.
He got seven votes in final tribal council.
Caleb Reynolds is the second worst. And Keith and Aubrey from this season are tied for the third worst.
Wait, what did Aubrey do?
She went home with both an idol and an advantage. And that negates all of her previous good work. Every bit of it.
Now, I saw on your Twitter that you made a video, much like you did about Cochran and Donathan in the past, about War Dog. Why did you come for War Dog on Twitter?
I thought my video wasn't really coming for him. It was
a highlight reel.
It was kind of a highlight reel, but no, I you know, watching the replay. And I just, you know, saw him doing it, what he was doing in slow motion. And I added music in my head and it, you know, it took me about 20 minutes to edit. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the result.
Yeah.
And, you know, War Dog retweeted it. So he was too offended.
OK, so you're not feuding with War Dog.
No. Okay.
All right. That's good. If you want to check that out, you can see it on Randy Bailey's Twitter page, Randy Bailey 1720 on Twitter for some highlights of War Dog from the challenges. So, Randy, here's a question about that Kerry Gravelin wants to know. Would you be OK with voting someone right back to the edge of extinction? We heard some of these new players say that's evil. How could you do that to Devins? We're not going to just send him right back to the edge of extinction like Boston Rob did to Matt Elrod all those years ago. You can't do that to somebody.
As much as I hate to agree with Boston Rob, that is exactly the move. It's not evil. Mm-hmm. Get rid of them.
Yeah. But for these players,
unless it's late in the game and you want to use them as a goat, because most of them are not going to win, like, you know, like Lil and Pearl Islands. She was a perfect goat.
Yeah. But For but these yes, new players, though, I disagree with the argument that it was immoral or evil to send Devens back. And I wonder if maybe the players were just using that as a cover for why they wouldn't do that to him.
If you use morality as something to live by in Survivor, you're not going to do very well in the game. That's was my downfall. My first time that I played, I made, really, really good friends with three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not sure I ever could have sent them home.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did, it would have been tough. It would have been really tough, but the game has changed. I grew up on Australia and Africa and Amazon old school and not grew up. I cut my teeth on.
That's when you fell in love with the show.
Right. And, now it's no one, there's trust clusters and voting blocks and all this crap. There's not a good old fashioned pagonging like in the old days. I hope there is this season. I'd love to see it. But
you would. Why? Isn't that boring?
Like we've talked about before, when you watch a baseball game and the pitcher throws a two-hitter and wins 1-0, that's boring.
But a pagonging is not a 1-0 game. That's a 9-0 game.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sour grapes or whatever you because I was in the middle of a pagonging that never happened.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean?
We were all set to run the table in Africa.
And then they did the second swap on you guys.
Right. With 10 people left in the game. And we've been, we're beating a dead horse here. I'm definitely beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see a good old fashioned pagonging just to bring it back.
Yeah. Now, Randy, with the Devens thing, I wonder if these players actually did feel like that this was immoral, because this was somebody that they didn't vote out. Somebody who seemed like he had an axe to grind with the people that did vote him out in Kelly. And so when we see that he ends up having this conversation with Julie and she's like, well, we wouldn't do that to you. That's evil. She's not saying to him like, oh, well, we want to keep you around. If you hate Kelly or if you're mad at Kelly, then that's why we want to keep you. I think that, it's hard to really read between the lines and know what their true intention is. It sounds better to say it's immoral to send him back as opposed to like, oh, no, we want to keep him around because he'll fight with our enemies.
Yeah. Like I said, you don't, if you're thinking about moral issues, mm-hmm. you're playing the wrong game.
Yeah.
Victoria this season has it right. She, and it's possible she just doesn't like anybody.
Is that possible?
It's possible, because I would have. Like I said, I couldn't. It would have been tough to vote out the people that I bonded with.
OK, Randy, this is a question from Edward Morris, who wants to know, how do you feel about the possibility of the first boot voting for the winner?
We kind of talked about that before. I mean, that's Reem voting for a winner. And mm-hmm. I said, that's wrong. Cause there is a chance that the final three are people she's never met.
Yeah.
So who does she vote for? And with $1 million at stake, that's just horse crap.
Yeah. Well, look, that's the best case scenario, that it's three people that she's never met, where then it's like they're all on an even playing field.
So she's going to, what is she going to do? Use the,
what would probably not be fair is if she's been on, Extinction Island with Joe for 20 days and two people she never met. And then who's she going to vote for?
The Greg Buis technique and have him pick a number between 1 and 10.
Maybe.
Edward, no, it's you should not be on the jury unless you've played with every player that's, you know, on the jury and in the finals.
Okay. All right, Randy, then this is a question from Graham Gates. How'd you do in your bachelor fantasy league? Do you still play
Kelly
one?
And I,
or the one with Kelly?
Kelly and I mopped the floor with Amy and Haley.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because you have so much reality TV experience?
No. What happened was... It's a long story, but Kelly and Haley had first pick in the draft, and they picked a girl. I don't even remember her name, but on paper, she looked like she was going deep, if not going to win. And turns out that she was just a train wreck. So Kelly and I had a huge advantage.
Yeah. That you guys were too unstoppable of an alliance.
Yeah, it's, and I need to tell Haley that one day, because she got a little, I was a very, very sore winner.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I'm sorry, Haley.
Randy, how do you feel about Ron Clark? We haven't really touched on him too much.
He's playing a good game. I don't like that little dance that he does.
You didn't like it? Wait, because I feel like that, like Aubrey, I feel like you do not like Kumbaya Survivor.
No, I do not. And mm-hmm. I don't like
you
mugging
once
for
told
the
me that the you were upset with me because in Survivor All Stars, when I was on the Shapara tribe, that we were singing a song after it rained. And you said that you felt like that was garbage, that we were doing that, singing there and sitting there and singing.
I don't remember that, but I'm glad I did.
Yes, that was one of the first conversations that we had. You said you lost a lot of respect for me when that happened.
Well, I need to do a rewatch.
Well, skip that part. I don't want to upset you.
You need to borrow one of David Wright's DVDs from his collection.
How's your DVD collection, Randy?
I've got 6 or 8 seasons of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure. And I've got maybe 10 movies.
10 movies.
And I've got 3 copies of Fargo.
Okay. Is that counting the 10?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some of the other highlights? If we're going to have a Randy
movies?
Bailey movie night, what else is in there?
Oh, shoot. When I got my first DVD player back in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
they let you got to get 3 DVDs with your player.
Okay.
And my 3 DVDs were Scarface.
Yeah.
Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Twister.
Twister. Okay. There you go.
So
for Randy Bailey movie night. And
I haven't put in a DVD in years, but
yeah. And while we're here, Felipe wants to know, what's the best TV theme song? We had a bracket this week on one of the Robin's podcast episodes on Robin Akiva Nita podcast TV theme song tournament. Do you have a favorite TV theme song, Randy?
You know, Survivors is pretty good.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Hawaii 5-0 back in the day.
That's a popular one.
Not today's
the
wife. I'm talking about, the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'd have to go with Hawaii 5-0.
Okay. Yeah, it's a classic. Randy, we haven't talked much about Julie last, who was, I had like a breakout episode for the show last night. She had like little confessionals here or there, but she was all over the episode last night. Where do you feel like this is going for Julie?
I don't know. I don't think, you know, even though she dominated the challenge, I don't think she's going to be labeled too much of a threat that they're going to be targeting her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's fine.
She came across great last night.
Yeah, she doesn't want to win 2 or 3 more in a row. She doesn't want to win this week, this coming weeks. She probably doesn't know that.
Yeah.
because you don't think about those kind of things when you're in the heat of battle.
Right. I don't know if anybody's made this comparison yet, but I feel like that she has a little bit of a Denise Stapley to her, to me. And especially in the way that Denise is good in the challenges, that she's like a really like a compact person. And, you know, in a lot of these like balancing challenges, I think, you know, having like sort of like, you know, long arms and long limbs, you know, it can help you like get through an obstacle course, but I feel like it's just more things to try to manage. But sort of having like a strong core and not being like a huge physical person, I think can help you in the challenges. And she seems like that she really knows what she's doing in terms of the strategy.
I got a Chrissy Hoffman vibe from her.
Chrissy Hoffbeck.
Hoffbeck.
Yes.
Her too. But both of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
was a joke.
Okay.
No, didn't you get that vibe a little bit?
What about Chrissy Hoffbeck?
She was a challenge beast. You know, really surprising.
I think she came on real strong at the end.
Right. She won, you know, maybe four individual immunities.
I think she won four. Yeah.
So, great job last night by Julie, but she needs to, her only mistake last night was she stuck her neck out a little bit for Joe. Mm-hmm. And there is no reason to do that. When someone is marked for death and it's not you,
yeah,
let it go.
Yeah. We saw Joe have that conversation with Ron in the episode where Joe was busy painting the flag and Ron came to him and Joe wasn't giving him anything. He was just basically saying, I don't know. You do whatever you want to do. And he says, go follow those guys if you want to know what the plan is.
Like I said earlier, Ron's... you know, Ron could throw away Joe, no problem. The only thing that scares me with Ron, besides his stupid dance, is if you remember the previews for next week, he's calling himself the Puppet Master.
Yes, when
you call yourself the Puppet Master, with 14 people left in the game,
yes,
goodbye.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's not. And it's possible. I've seen previews before that don't even make the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, we also saw the injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with Probst calling for medical and the guy saying, you know, can you breathe? And, you know, so that looked
right.
You know, who knows? It's 99% of the time it's the previews are way more intense than it actually
right.
is.
And you even tweeted about this a couple of weeks ago about Wendy when she got hurt. You said, "Up, goodbye, Wendy. You're spending significant airtime on an injury. So we know she's out of the game." And that wasn't ultimately what happened. But if we do get a medical evacuation this week, and we got a lot of people left in the game and we still have to bring somebody back. And there's only so many weeks of the season. We could see somebody go out. And if it's one of the comma six, Randy, then that could be the break that the other side needs, where I feel like it's a completely different story where it's the comma six going up against the, you know, circular firing squad. But if the circular firing squad can sort of get together and say, hey, we have six, they have five. Then
I don't think it's going to be a medevac. I think if you noticed all the commotion was happening before the challenge had even started.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just guessing somebody fainted.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be it. They'll drink some water and be right back in the game. They'll be fine.
All right. So Randy,
and that's my prediction.
Randy feels okay. Okay. So Gavin wins, no medevac. We're going to get all the Randy predictions together.
The Puppet Master has about maybe 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just two.
Okay.
Cause when you're at it, starts going south, you know, but I say that, but you know, Boston Rob had the cocky confessionals from day one to, you know, day 39 and won.
Yeah.
But you know, that's all he knows how to do.
Right. It's you know, you could have like a moment of I'm running the game, but you know, I think that yeah. sort of like that's kind of like, you know, all like that's Rob's character is I'm running the game.
Yes.
So it gives you a lot of stuff.
Unless the game is getting the best of me.
Yeah, that could happen too. John wants to know, whoa, is there an advantage that you would throw into the ocean this season, Randy?
What? I don't understand the question, I think.
I think he's talking about how you threw the idol in the ocean in Gabon. Is there something that they've created this season that you would throw into the ocean?
You know, anytime you find an idol and nine people see you get the idol, mm-hmm. it needs to be thrown into the ocean. Mm-hmm. I stand by my decision. Mm-hmm. If I could have found it and stuck it in my pocket without anybody seeing, that's a different story. But if you got an advantage, you know, and I'm also from the school that when you have an idol or an advantage, especially if someone else knows about it, get rid of it right away. Don't throw it in the ocean like I did, but play it. Mm-hmm. Just play it.
Okay.
It, you know, gets a target off your back and might possibly work.
Yeah. Randy, this is a question. This is from Nicole Marie. Wants to know, have you ever gotten kicked out of a gym? That's a story that Reem has talked about in the preseason about how she was kicked out of a gym before she came on Survivor.
I have never been kicked out of the gym.
Have you ever heard of anybody getting kicked out of a gym?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No, that's unusual.
I have something in common with Gavin. I too work at the YMCA part-time. Mm-hmm. And we've kicked people out of the pool, which in a sense is a gym.
Why do you kick people out of the pool? Because they jump in and they hold their nose?
Yeah, that's automatic expulsion. In fact, you're gone for the summer.
Hey, you pulling a Wentworth out. You're out. You're gone.
Yeah, that's the
whistle.
Major,
I couldn't whistle for you, Randy.
That's the biggest infraction is nose holding.
Yeah. what were they doing? Roughhousing in the pool?
Anything, mm-hmm. anything, bad language.
Right. Right. Okay.
Kind of ironic me kicking somebody out for bad language, you know?
Yes. Okay. Randy, then, John Tinkham wants to know on Twitter, can you tell us, whose feet are in your Twitter profile picture?
Those are mine.
Oh, those are your feet? Whoa, is that from one of the Survivor seasons?
That is on day 30 in Gabon. If you notice, they're swollen as hell. Mm-hmm. I've just got skin hanging off my ankles and wrinkles in my ankles. And I will give you... I will give you my microphone back if you can guess who took that picture. This is amazing. It is so glad. Who was that? Who brought that up?
That's from John Tinkham.
Thanks, John.
If I have to guess who took that picture.
Yeah, because I had what is called the survivor swell. Mm-hmm. And it is a condition where when you don't eat for several weeks with no salt in your diet or anything, and then salt and real food is introduced back into your diet, your lower extremities just hold water and fluid and they mm-hmm. swell like balloons.
Yeah.
And have you heard of that?
No.
It's happened in many seasons.
Yeah. And the only other person I've seen with something like that is like Cochran when he first got to Survivor Karamoan and they take care of him.
Anyway, I was doing a confessional and it's painful. And the producers were laughing at my feet and joking about it and stuff. And they said, we have to we have to take pictures of this.
Okay.
And one of them got out his digital camera and snapped that shot. Who took the picture?
Matt Van Wagner.
I am impressed.
That was right.
You're right.
That's right.
And I was going to give you multiple choice.
Yeah, and you don't have to give me your microphone back.
Okay.
That defeats the purpose of you having it. Yeah.
I was lying about that anyway. I wasn't going to give it back to you. Back in those days, Matt was a field producer.
Mm-hmm.
There was like four main ones.
Yeah.
And I think three of the four that I worked with in Gabon are gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matt now, I think, just cashes checks.
I think he's very involved.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's an
unbelievable guest. Yes. Guessing Matt is.
Yeah. I mean, if it was somebody who's no longer with the show, I think I would have had a much harder chance to get that one right.
Yeah, it shouldn't surprise me that much that you guessed that. But yeah, he took that picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Randy, shut up. Tim wants to know, why did you shave your head in Heroes versus Villains at the reunion?
Why not?
Yeah.
I'd had I've told this story before. I had a shaved head for years before Gabon. And when I showed up at casting, Ace was also there and they didn't want two bald guys. So they said, can you grow your hair out?
Yeah.
So I did. And then for Heroes Villains, they said, have your hair similar to the same length it was in Gabon.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the reunion came, I said, you know, the hell with them. I'm shaving it.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't like you were making a statement or anything.
No.
Like a taxi driver type thing.
No, I really despise getting haircuts.
Oh, why?
I hate going in. I hate the smell of hair salons. I hate sitting there waiting, wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wasting my time, kind of like you trying to sell blankets during my time. I hate it.
I've never heard anybody hates haircuts.
I think it comes from when I was a little kid, when I was 6 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And the Beatles were popular and I wanted to grow my hair long and my parents wouldn't let me. And they dragged me kicking and screaming to the barbershop and I'd get a crew cut.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I think that's what it's from.
And so you've never then just let your hair grow long because you have a full head of hair, Randy. I think
it's been pretty long before.
Yeah. What's the longest it's been?
I've had a ponytail before.
Wow.
Like Coach.
Impressive. This is a question from one of our listeners who asked to remain anonymous. Would you ever play in the survival challenge, Randy? That is one of the seasons that the fans can participate, which I believe. I'm not sure. Is that did Bob have something to do with it in the beginning?
Oh, that thing that Bob does in Maine.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they took it on. If it's still in Maine, I don't know a ton about it.
The short answer of that is no.
No, would you ever do anything like that?
Yeah, I might.
Okay,
And I might even do that. You know, it's for a charity. It's for a good cause. But
yeah, do you watch any of these fan seasons that they put on YouTube and stuff like that?
No, I don't have time for that.
It's worse than getting a haircut.
It's just right up there. No, I've never. Are they any good? I've heard of Survivor Maryland.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of good ones. Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Are they professionally edited with music?
Yeah, I think you'd be. I think that at least like from the editing side, I think you'd be interested.
Yeah,
you should watch one.
Which one's the best? Is Survivor Maryland the best?
I think that is the one that is the most well known.
Well, I may check it out.
Okay. All right.
What I'm interested in is what's that show that Audrey puts on from Big Brother?
Oh, Sequester. You want to do that one?
She's asked me to do that one a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I understand that show has grown from.
Yeah.
From just using webcams to they actually have a house and everything now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Who knows?
I may give Audrey a call. I'll get Audrey and.
Yo, that'll get you real confused once you get Aubrey and Audrey in the mix.
But what were we talking about?
Okay. Mo Saunders wants to know, did Randy feel like Wendy was playing for the sea of money with the releasing of the chickens and then quickly commented about wanting a cheeseburger before she found out about the Edge of Extinction twist?
I don't think she was playing for the sea of money. I think. No, I don't. I don't. But yeah, and I tweeted. Did you see my tweet about trying to get the sea of money when I saved the grasshopper?
Yes. Yes. You tweeted that you saved this grasshopper that was going to be eaten by GC and Crystal. You saved the grasshopper.
Right. And, She didn't contact me on that.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
I wish she would.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Maybe if she goes back, I think at one point Sia might go through all the seasons. Like if we can get her on CBS All Access.
Well, when she gets to Gabon, I need to be somebody notify me so I can show her that clip again.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think she was, you know, you're so hungry and confused out there. You're not thinking about the sea of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if Wendy is like such a super fan that she is like really has her finger on the pulse of what Sia is doing.
Yeah, no. And you know, I think she started that with Ty, right? When she had Mark.
Yes. And she talked about how she was going to give Keith Nail the money, but then she didn't have the courage to come in. And then Keith Nail had to like go out and like make a video like, hey, Sia, I heard you were looking for me. I'm around.
if I were to get the Sia money, the editor, the production could ruin me. There's a thing in Heroes. This is a good story from Heroes Villains that has never been told. I'm not proud of it, but it was maybe day, I don't know, 6, 7, and we're starving, and we decided to kill one of the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle DeLorenzo gets one of the chickens, and she's holding it, and everybody's telling her how to, you know, put the chicken out of its misery. And excuse me, this chicken is screaming like I've never heard a chicken scream. Just like this chicken knew. Damn. That. It was going to die and be eaten. And there's like three cameramen around and they're shooting Danielle, and Danielle's looking cute and holding the chicken and smiling and laughing. And I knew she was just mugging for the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked up to her, grabbed the chicken, pulled the chicken's head off and said, there, that's how you do it. Didn't make the show.
Had you ever done that before?
I had never done that before.
Yeah.
But I did not want to see that chicken suffer. You know, the chicken was dying one way or the other.
Right.
I was that not going to say
it. She was just like, it was like flailing around and you just gave it a quick end.
I shortened its life.
Yes.
And I'm laughing now about Tyson telling you about Russell Hance's method of killing the chicken. And I cringe to this day.
Well, remind me, what was that?
Russell would grab the chicken by its feet.
Yeah.
And would run around camp as fast as he could, just swatting the chickens against trees.
Oh, no, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know why I'm laughing because it was so.
Right.
You know, the chicken was dead.
Sia is
going to
send him an invoice.
Yeah.
Not good. That's not good. Don't do that.
Yeah. You don't remember Tyson telling you about
that? I don't remember that. Like, I've had a lot of podcasts with Tyson, so I don't remember every single one along the way.
Well, you remembered mine when I made fun of you for singing in the Amazon. I can't believe that.
That wasn't even on a podcast. That was, we talked on the phone one time, that this was when you, the Heroes versus Villains was going to air. And I don't even know how we got in contact.
I know what we were talking about.
Yeah. And we crossed, maybe we crossed paths at the, either on Facebook or because of the 10-year anniversary party. And then we had started, you know, talking on the phone a little bit. And then you told me that's on the phone that you, I remember where I was standing.
Okay. Your memory's better than mine. Well, I don't even remember last month.
That's burned. I guess because you were saying that you were you lost so much respect for me that day.
Was I serious?
You tell me. Tongue in cheek, but that you did not like that moment.
No, I'm sure I wasn't serious.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Randy Lirsa commented. She said, I just want to drink a beer with Randy Bailey.
Somehow Lirsa and I connect. I'd love to drink a beer with Lisa. When she said on her exit from the game, when she said that she was worried about sitting next to what was her name?
Natalie, who was she? Who was Angelina?
Natalie, when she was worried about sitting next to Natalie at the reunion, it was just brilliant. I fell in love with Lirsa then. So we swap a few messages every now and then. And Lirsa, one day we will share a beer.
She's very fun. We had a fun podcast earlier this season.
Oh, I listened to her. To her. It was on my spring break.
Do you have any thoughts from last season, Randy? Were you happy with the way everything turned out last season?
There's been so many. Refresh
David
my memory.
Versus Goliath.
Right. With Christian and the wrestler and...
Yes. And Gabby and Angelina.
Angelina, great character.
Davey,
Gabby, yeah. Great character. Great sport. I gave her some abuse for crying too much.
Mike White.
I gave Gabby some abuse for crying all the time, and somebody took up for her.
Who did?
You know, saying, I can't remember who it was.
A fan?
Saying, Randy, you know, huh?
A fan?
I think it was a fan saying, you know, cut her some slack. And Gabby snapped back saying, no, it is an honor to be abused by Randy Bailey.
Yes.
And then Gabby and I have talked a little bit.
Yeah, she's a good sport.
Gabby's great.
Yeah. And
who won that season? I forgot.
Nick.
Yeah, he's. Sorry about that, Nick.
Yeah. Okay.
I am loving the recent seasons, last season, this season, that Survivor has gotten away from the Mactor, and they are getting super fans that have applied for years, like Reem and Julie. I mean, they've been applying from the beginning. Eric also, I think, was a, wasn't he? Eric was went way back.
Eric from this season? Eric from this season?
Yeah. I love
that
the
one.
Shift.
I don't know. That one, I don't know.
Yeah. He applied for years when he was young and then got married and popped out a couple kids and took a few years off, several years off, and started back applying and made it. So
are we sure that's not Brendan Shapiro?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I think that's the same story with
same
Brendan
story.
Shapiro.
Yes.
Though.
Okay.
But no, I'm loving the shift in casting.
Okay. Randy, Chuck Daugherty wants to know, what's your favorite cereal? Do you like cereal?
My favorite cereal? Mm-hmm. What's that have to do with anything?
I think people just want to know about you.
I like Grape Nuts.
Grape Nuts? That's the worst cereal, Randy.
I eat pretty healthy, believe it or not.
Yeah, I do too, but that's the worst cereal, Grape Nuts.
No, it's, I also like Special K.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that one. Randy, would you ever consider coming back to the, Survivor feedback show? Because you made this into a thing now where then that you say you were the first person to say, hey, I'm not a feedback show guy. I'm a recap guy. And now I get other people say, hey, why am I on the feedback show?
I said it and I meant it.
You mean it. You would never go back to the feedback show.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Believe it or not, I was listening to Josh Wigler's first one out last season for Ghost Island. Mm-hmm. And Nick.
Yes. Yeah. He said
actually
that.
He brought it up with Wigler. Do you remember that?
I remember it. Yeah.
He said, I don't know what the context was, but he was saying something like, I want to be a guest on RHAP. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do the feedback show like Randy Bailey does.
Yeah.
And, I thought that you was, start, I mean,
you,
to
be, you started the thing, but there's no, the feedback show is great.
Feedback show this week.
Haley Strong.
Were all the survivors busy or
Haley Strong is great on the feedback show.
Haley Strong is great all the time. I'm just teasing her.
Okay. All right.
She's great.
Randy, do you have anything big coming up?
Yeah, I'm interviewing and traveling to schools down in Texas, and I am about to leave the comfort of here in Kansas, where I've lived for like 7 or 8 years now, mm-hmm. and become a full-fledged teacher, and I'm pretty scared about it.
Mm-hmm. What are you scared about? This is who you are now, a teacher?
Well, not that. It's a big change. It's a big commitment. You know, as a substitute, I can take a day off when I want to. I can, mm-hmm. If I don't like the class, I can go to another class the next day. And with this, you're in all the way. And,
you don't like being tied down.
Well, I don't know yet. I've never been tied down. You know, for years I edited videos before I got on Survivor, and I didn't even go to work. I just stayed at home and worked out of my living room.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had no time clock to push. I had no boss cracking a whip. I completely free.
Yeah.
And that's going to change.
Yeah. And look at this, that you and Coach both are faculty members now.
I know that. I listened to the Coach podcast the other day.
Yeah, I caught him in between periods one day.
At least he wasn't on his treadmill.
That was good. That was good. That was his best appearance the last time out for Coach.
Oh, all of his appearances are great. Is he still on Twitter? I think he blocked me.
No, he blocked you? That's a great question. How many survivors have you blocked? Have Randy Bailey blocked?
I don't think I've ever blocked a survivor. I've muted
right
scores and scores of them.
What do they have to do to get muted?
Talk politics.
Talk politics. Okay. So how many how many people have you blocked? I'm trying to say this and not make it sound like that you're blocking people. How many people have decided I am blocking Randy Bailey?
Probably a few.
Yeah.
But I have a very short fuse. If someone even looks sideways at me, they're blocked.
You
instantly.
Will block the fans.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Anything derogatory, even slightly derogatory, even if I take it the wrong way, they're gone.
You don't have time for that.
No.
Yeah. I don't do that a lot. I don't do a lot of blocking.
I heard somebody you were talking to within the last couple of years that was saying the same thing. I think it was Zeke.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It depends what you're going to say.
That Zeke has a short fuse also. If someone.
Yeah.
Was that him?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like that when you block somebody, you give them some satisfaction.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I feel like they're like, ha ha. I got under Randy's skin. He blocked me.
I hear Wardog has blocked a couple of survivors.
I think it's only two. That I think he said it was only two. It might have been the Gabby and Hannah tag team.
Gabby.
He didn't like either.
That's funny.
He didn't like either of them.
Yeah, Wardog's great.
Yeah. Boy, this feud that you have with Stephen Fishback, they're talking about it on Reddit, Randy.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Yeah. They're talking about how Stephen had a flaming hot comeback for you.
And I explained to you earlier why his comeback was completely, you know, void.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although
it makes sense because I am going to be the first 6-time player or 5-time. How many times has Rupert played?
I guess technically he's played 4.
4's the record.
Yes. Are you going to watch The Amazing Race when it comes back, Randy?
Oh, absolutely. My two girls and my two boys are in it.
Yes. Who are your two boys? Chris and Brett?
Chris and Brett and Corinne and Eliza, of course.
Corinne and Eliza. Okay.
Did I just spoil that? Has the cast not been announced yet?
I mean, look.
Everybody knows.
I think everybody knows what's going on with that. But we'll see. We'll see if we get a cease and desist.
Do you think your listeners would like to know what place each team got? Because I could.
No, I think we don't want to know that. We don't want to know placement. I think that, the cast, I think we're helping, get people excited because they shot it like 5 years ago and then it's going to come back in the, did you watch the $1 Million Mile, Randy?
I did not.
Yes.
I didn't even, that's LeBron James's thing, right?
Yes. He's part of it. I'm going to do a podcast about that later tonight with Kurt Clark.
Will not be listening.
You know,
I love Kurt, but,
you don't want to hear about the million. You don't want to hear if I liked it.
Did you?
You got to give people a reason to listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Okay.
What
about TKO? Did you watch TKO?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Randy, what else should we talk about?
Have we gone through every player? Because I
could throw out some other names of people that we haven't really talked about. Julia, we haven't said anything about Julia.
Yeah, she could win it. You know, she hasn't gotten a whole lot of airtime, and she's.
Don't you think that we would have seen her a little bit if she was the winner?
If she was a winner, we would have seen a little more. I agree. Because mm-hmm. She doesn't. I don't know what the problem is because she doesn't seem boring, but she sure hadn't gotten any confessionals.
Yeah, she had one last night, but nothing that's jumping out that she's the winner of the season.
But you know, it's as a if you haven't been sent to the edge yet and you're in the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a camera whore like we all are,
yeah,
you got to be a little upset.
We love airtime.
That the edge taking away from your airtime.
Yeah. What about we really haven't talked about Wardog other than Twitter. He was hardly in the episode last night,
which is a good sign.
That's good for him.
I think so.
Yeah. Davey last season, he was like completely absent at the merge episode and then, went on a deep run.
Very deep. Mm-hmm. What would he get? Third,
I think,
or fourth?
Sixth, Davey.
Sixth.
Yeah. He was the first person out in the finale.
Yeah, and it looked like he had a chance to win last year, I remember.
Yeah. Lauren, haven't really said anything about Lauren.
A little bit, just she's got to. They'll take out Kelly before they take out Lauren, probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She's got to, I know how hard it is, but she's got to cut the cord with Kelly.
Hmm. Yeah.
Do you see? I like Lauren. You know, Lauren. You know, not good in the water, but she's got to be good on land.
Hmm. Where does Aurora go from here, Randy?
I'm loving Aurora. Aurora. She's she's. Yeah. She's just. I like her. She's good.
I like the person, but I don't like her spot right here.
You don't.
Although I would be hard pressed to see where she gets knocked out next. It would have to be some sort of a situation where
she could get idled out.
I guess she could get, but why would they put the votes on her in terms of like if
because for exactly that reason, because they might be thinking the logical places to put the vote and they want to go somewhere that's
Maybe what do you think about this move, Randy? Should comma vote out Aurora this week? Should the comma six, do they follow up voting out Joe by voting out Aurora? But then they're going to really, okay, we're going to, oh, it's your turn, Wentworth. We're coming for you, Wentworth.
Then you're going to shoot themselves in the foot. Like I've said,
shoot themselves in the foot.
If, you know, comma took out Joe for good reason.
Yeah.
And every comma member can understand the reason.
Yeah.
But if they do it again, then there's going to be some dissension.
You think so? Because I feel like it's the safest place to put the vote. And I've been trying to wrap my head around, how do you untangle that they have all these idols? And if they could sort of use deductive reasoning to say, hey, we don't have any idols. They must have idols on that side. We got to get these guys to burn some idols. Let's vote out Aurora this week. They'll never see that one coming.
And try to flush one of the idols.
And try to say like, hey, Kelly, it's for you. We're coming for you this week, coming for you this time. And then also that would take out a number where they couldn't do 6-6 anymore. It would be basically the person that was on the bottom of their numbers. And then you could pagong that side.
And when was the last pagonging we saw?
Ghost Island was pretty pagongy.
Was it?
They picked off the Malolos, and then like at the very end, like Dominic and Wendell had, Donathan and Laurel that they used to get rid of the, Kellens and Seabasses.
Yeah, I don't know. But, it's I'm loving the season. Mm-hmm. It'll be. And I don't really, I don't. Yeah, we haven't. Let's keep going down your list of people because I've got some other
new people that we haven't really talked about. I mean, we talked about Julie. We talked about Ron.
We talked about Ron.
Eric and Gavin. Anything else with them?
They have not made a mistake yet.
Mm-hmm. Gavin's your winner pick.
But neither did Aaron in China. So you never know.
Mm-hmm. And what about Victoria?
Loving her.
Yep.
She's awesome.
I could tell that we touched on her briefly, and you seem like that you get a twinkle in your eye, Randy, when you talk about Victoria.
I hope she doesn't get too cocky though, because it's been easy for her up to now,
mm-hmm.
and I hope she doesn't get too cocky. And she hadn't yet. She's, being a perfect villain.
Mm-hmm. Anybody from the Edge you want to talk about? I want to talk about Chris Underwood.
His ice cream is vanilla also. His confessionals and stuff are kind of simple.
Mm-hmm.
Casting likes people like that because they have a way to explain things that are very.
Yeah.
Simple because of a lot of the viewers are not sophisticated like the listeners to this.
Right. I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking about it.
Are sophisticated, but
Randy, what do you think about Chris when Jeff asked him Chris, why are you upset? And, or what has, Edge of Extinction done for you? And he talked about how he's like, I just had this idea of playing this perfect game and then being on Extinction Island. This helped me, get rid of it. What is this about? You have to play a perfect game.
Yeah,
who's putting this pressure on him that he has to win and be the worst winner?
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as being able to play a perfect game because mm-hmm. A perfect game is like, I mean, they're different. If you win, it's a perfect game. It's that simple
mm-hmm.
in my book. Except mm-hmm. for Bob Crowley.
He didn't play a perfect game?
No, he didn't. Mm. He played a horrible game. and right, but JT, the worst. Caleb, second worst. Keith and Aubrey tied for third worst. Bob Crowley is
two of the five worst players ever are winners. Are winners.
Yes.
What did Keith do?
He embarrassed himself from start to finish. When he got voted out and he said under his breath, "Now good luck with challenges without me." And Kelly Wentworth rolls her eyes like, "What the?" And I mean, that's just classic. I mean, he's a horrible social game.
Do you think that was he too young to be out there, Randy?
Obviously, because he hadn't learned to swim yet. Mm-hmm. And is Reem like an Olympic swimmer, or why was Reem coaching him? Is she qualified?
She's a nice lady. She's like,
does she know how to swim?
She's like, "All right, Chris, first thing, don't please hold your nose when you jump in the water, dude." "Don't pull a Wentworth on me, bro." "Kick you out of this pool."
You know, and I guess if she could, swim like 15 feet without taking a rest, she's qualified to coach Keith.
Yeah.
But
Randy, what about when you were in Gabon? Would you have been okay with having to climb up a flight of stairs to go get some rice?
Sure, sure. And I thought you were going to ask something about swimming. And every day in Gabon, Charlie, Marcus, and I, and Corinne would come sometime. We would actually swim like half a mile. Charlie and Marcus are both track just for something to do. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't, you know, kill it. It'd just be a comfortable, relaxing swim. Charlie and Marcus were both triathletes and swimmer, and you know, believe it or not, so was I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of people know about that. A lot about that, but mm-hmm. I do have a little experience.
Yeah.
You know, I think the whole time in Gabon, I swam a total of about 10 feet in challenges. You know, the challenge with the slide.
They didn't do a lot of water challenges.
No, we didn't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's keep going. Who were we on? Keith is just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too young. Seems like a nice guy, but just lost. Mm-hmm. Just a fish out of water that can't swim.
And is there anything else you want to say about Reem?
Reem, you know, not since my season of Gabon, have they put together a more annoying cast.
See, Randy, this is my hottest take yet. If Lynn Spillman found Reem, they need to go out and find her and bring her back, Randy.
Oh, they do. She's, I hate her so much. I want to see her again. I got an email from Lynn.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, by the way.
Yes.
Just out of the blue. Hadn't spoken to her in years. Mm-hmm. And, she was looking for,
swim coach.
No, she was, I told her to call Kelly Wentworth or Reem. She was looking for, people for a new reality show that she's casting.
Wow. And you were on her short list.
I won't tell you the, if some other survivors listen to this, they probably got the same email, but, I was not a good fit for her show. So I politely declined.
Is it the challenge, Randy?
No, it's not. And then
is it the new Paradise Hotel?
No, it's not that either. We exchanged a few nice, life, you know, mm-hmm. emails, and you know, I'll talk to her again in 10 years probably. So,
okay. All right. When you're the first five-time survivor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You mark my words. It's going to happen.
And then you'll rub it in Steven's face.
Oh, I'm rubbing it in his face now.
Randy, should Michelle Chase have had a vote at the final tribal council? Wouldn't Gabon have been better?
Well, she had met Susie, so mm-hmm. I guess that makes her qualified.
Yeah.
Man, Michelle Chase, I hadn't thought about her in 10 years.
Imagine that Michelle Chase and Jillian and GC could have all been on the edge of extinction.
That would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I love the concept. They're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
They can keep the big players around as long as they want.
Would you be okay if they did this in another season?
I hope they do.
Do you hope they do it every season?
We hadn't seen it play out yet. You know, they still have time to screw it up.
Yeah. Why has this been received better than Redemption Island, which people universally hated from the get-go?
Who was in Redemption Island? Refresh my memory.
Well, the first time they did it was the Rob versus Russell season. One of your favorites. Right,
that was the worst season ever.
And then the second season they did it was the Coach versus Ozzy season.
Okay.
And then they did it in the Blood versus Water season. And I actually thought it went pretty well in the Blood versus Water season, but they haven't done it since.
Well, you know, Edge of Extinction is different than Redemption Island. It's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And as I do like watching it, and I'd like to see it again. But with that being said, like you said earlier in the podcast, I'm a purist. Mm-hmm. It should be 8 versus 8. No idols. When you're voted out, you're gone.
That's it. Okay.
Reem, though, we hadn't talked enough about her. She's
keep going.
How old is she? Yeah, I don't want you to guess. She'll kill you.
I want to say I believe this came up in the preseason.
Let's just say she's too old to be talking the way she talks with dude and bro.
Oh, Randy, that is going to earn you.
Screw you, dude.
I think she's 46. I think that is the number that's jumping out to me.
Well, she's 30 years too old to be talking like she talks. It's just driving me absolutely crazy.
Yes, she is 46.
You know, and it's not entertaining. It's just annoying. You know, Natalie last season was entertaining,
mm-hmm.
but Reem is just like, okay, she's sixth on the list, right behind Bob Crowley. She could play 50 times and would be a first boot every single time. And I was thinking, that, you know, there was no tribe pick 'em or anything. CBS had the tribes carved in stone at the beginning, 10 versus 10. They put Amazing Joe or Joey Amazing, whatever his name is. You know, they just stacked this team and they put Reem on this team that would rival Fong in its ineptness. Mm-hmm. You know, so they know they're going to lose. They are pretty sure Reem is going to be the consensus. You know, Reem gathering up people's clothing and what is she thinking? So I think that they knew that Reem was going to be the mayor of Edge of Extinction from the beginning.
I don't know.
They knew there was a good chance of it.
Yeah.
And it would be gold. And it has been.
that is like sort of like a fifth dimensional chess for them to say like, oh, we know she's going to be the first boot and she'll be, you know, the mayor of Extinction Island and it'll be great. So I'm glad with how it's worked out, but I don't know if they have that kind of foresight.
When they cast Borneo, I bet you they figured Sonya was the first boot.
Yeah, well, she was like, what was she, 70 years old?
She was up there. And when they cast Gabon, I bet they counted on Jillian being the first boot.
Well, she wasn't.
She was second, you know, close.
Yeah. Now, I do believe that they do cast some people to lose.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And maybe they surprised them, but
in Gabon, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, all three finalists were cast to lose. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding a bit.
Yeah. All right, Randy. Where do we go from here?
Have we talked about everybody?
We talked about everybody.
I feel we've left some people out.
We talked about everybody. I mean, you want to talk about David Wright?
We've talked on him a little bit. He's like I said, he's leading the league in returnees, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Okay. You think Kelly Wentworth is out soon?
Yeah, and
Gavin is the winner. Do you feel like it's going to be a pegonging?
I hope so.
Okay.
To an extent.
Okay. And overall, do you feel like that this is going to be, the rest of the season is going to be good, or do you think it's going to start to get predictable?
No, I think it's going to be good.
Okay.
I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be a good pegonging.
And yeah, it's going to be a good season. Aubrey's my girl, but she's, I probably shouldn't say this. She'll block me and delete me from my phone and everything, but
is it going to be worse than she's tied for the fourth worst Survivor player of all time?
No. I hope she turns the podcast off before she gets that deep in the podcast, but
I don't know if she's listening with bated breath 2 hours into these Survivor podcasts these days.
No, trust me, she is. she is. Let me just say without killing her too much.
Yeah.
I enjoyed her more, immensely more in her first season.
Okay.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that. Because she went home with an advantage this season?
No.
That didn't help for you.
I don't know. She's crying too much this season.
Mm-hmm.
She cried her first season, I know, but she turned it around and rallied. This season, it's like she's going downhill instead of uphill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she's growing. It's like she's shrinking.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Sorry,
Aubrey. It's tough out there on the edge, Randy. All right. Randy, do you have anything you want to plug or promote? Do you have a new podcast that you're going to be launching?
No, but if you want, you can plug those silly blankets that you were trying to earlier. If you're trying to get rid of me, you can say goodbye to me, and then you can try to, and you can sell anything you want to sell.
I guess so. Comment for blanket.com.
I don't want to plug anything. I just want to, wish me luck down in Texas teaching.
Okay. Good luck down in Texas. Hope it all works out.
And looking forward to getting close to some of my Texas boys.
Does anybody ever recognize you when you are in one of these conventions?
Conventions? What convention? At the job fair?
The job fair.
The job fair, I don't know. I got, nobody said anything, but I got.
Like, you're not wearing like a Tommy Bahama shirt or anything like that, right?
Actually, I'm wearing my buff and I'm holding a machete. No, I'm wearing a dress shirt and
What about cameo.com, Randy? Have you thought about getting on Book Cameo?
I don't even know what that is.
So that's a website that you can join, and then people can pay you $30, $40, and then you record video messages for the fans. And they have all sorts of different people that are on there. Survivor players, Big Brother players. Oh, it's like Katie Couric is on there.
I don't ever charge for anything. I just nothing against fair play.
Mm-hmm.
I've had fans.
He's not even on this one. He's on like the sort of like bootleg version of Cameo.
I've had fans, Facebook me or tweet me or something and say they want an autographed picture, and they said they'll send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and I'm talking about from out of the country and stuff, and first place I don't want to give out my address.
Mm-hmm.
So I just eat the envelope and pay the postage myself. I don't think I've sold. No, I have sold stuff for charities.
Yeah. Randy, I'm telling you, this is easy money. Check out what you could get for just $25, Randy.
Maddie, happy birthday.
Maddie, happy birthday from Sian Joe.
What up, girl? Hope you are well. Hope you have so, so many amazing blessings and awesome well wishes on your birthday. Congratulations on your second year at University of Delaware. That's friggin'
impressive.
Awesome. Keep working.
That's $25. You get a message from Joey Amazing and Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yeah, so that is Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yeah.
They're dating now.
Yes, they're an item. And would you ever date a Survivor contestant, Randy?
Well, before we get to that, and Joe used to date Kelly Wiggleford,
I don't know
right?
if that was ever official.
Does Joe know that just because you've been on the show, that does not require that you only date Survivors?
I think he knows. I think he knows that.
So there's like 260 females.
Mm-hmm.
That have played.
Yes.
And he's dated two.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Kelly thing is official.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't know. I think that they were just friends. I don't know if it was a romance.
Did you ask me if I've ever dated a survivor?
I asked you, would you? I didn't know if the answer was that you have.
I have not. I don't think I have.
Okay. I think you would remember.
I think I would too, but no, yeah. I have not.
Okay. But you would be open to it.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm focused on teaching right now. Okay. I need to get my career jump started and, you know, that can wait.
Okay. All right. You should think about this, cameo, Randy.
I have thought about it and the answer is no. Okay. Not my style.
Yeah,
not my style.
you could be mean to people with it. Do it. That could be like your thing.
I've been contacted several times by people wanting video birthday wishes for their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
And they're like, can you yell at my boyfriend?
And I do it for free.
You do it for free.
Yep.
But they ask you to like really like rip into the boyfriend.
A few of them like me to insult them, but most of them just mm-hmm. just want me to wish them a happy birthday and that's it.
Okay. All right, so, Randy, we've got the Survivor Feedback Show coming up on Friday this week. Going to talk to Haley Strong. Everybody should get their feedback questions in. Do you have a feedback question for Haley Strong?
I will think of it and I will post it.
Okay. And then we are going to get into, we have a new podcast called This Week in Survivor, Randy. Now, you would never appear on that podcast, right?
To be a contestant on with the questions?
We do. We talk to the guest. We talk about social media.
I listen to it. You know, I've got a lot of...
But you would never be on that one, right?
To compete against you in the quiz,
right.
We'd have to... I would, but we'd have to... make some rules about the quiz.
Why? What rules do you want to change on the quiz?
Like only seasons 1 through 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
Or season 17 mm-hmm. and 20.
Okay.
No, not even 20, because I quit watching after.
All right, I could agree to those terms.
10 and under,
yeah.
Plus 17.
Okay. All right. And so we've got that coming up this weekend. I talked with Scott Chernoff, TV writer, Survivor podcaster. He's going to join me. Did you ever listen to his podcast that he does with Ryan Elder?
I have not.
Okay. They're not in season right now, but Scott's going
to
go on.
You're it, Rob. I don't listen to any other podcasts.
I appreciate that, Randy. I appreciate that.
I don't even listen to Fair Play.
I can't blame you, Randy.
I don't have time. And, I load up your podcasts on a flash drive or on my phone
mm-hmm.
and I will listen to, you know, on my drive to and from work and during my planning period. And that's it. I'll only get halfway into the recap like this week.
Okay.
And the new episode will come on. So I'm going to have to delete all of last week's podcasts and start on this week's.
Well, I appreciate you even
and I've got
even
a head
downloading
start,
them.
I've got a head start this week.
Because you already heard
Because I don't have to listen to this one.
Yeah.
Because I know what I said.
Yeah. But please still download it.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a deal.
Okay. We need the numbers. Oh. And then, of course, the Wiggle Room is coming. Do you listen to the Wiggle Room and the Wand Off, or you don't like the Wand Off?
If I get there.
Okay. If you get,
Yeah. If I get there. And okay. Sometimes I do. When I went to, on my spring break, I went to Alabama to visit my brother. Then I drove across the country to Dallas to visit friends there. Then I drove way out to Lubbock to the job fair, and I got caught up. And it was like a 12-hour drive home. I listened to you the entire time almost.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't get too annoying?
No, not too bad.
Okay.
Wiggler's giggle got to me every now and then. But, no, I find it more relaxing than music.
Okay. So. All right. I'm happy to hear that, Randy. It's such a big podcast.
I should. If you would pay me for these things, I'd become a patron.
Okay. So if I paid you a couple dollars a month, you'd be a patron?
How much is it to be a patron?
Well, you could be a patron of the podcast for as little as $5 a month, Randy. Keep all this podcasting going.
If you pay me $5 a month, I will become a patron for $5.
Well, let me consider that offer.
Okay. Think about it.
All right. And if you too would like to consider that offer, you can go to robisapodcast.com/patron to find out more about what we're doing behind the scenes at Rob is a Podcast. We've got our patron podcast feed, everything we're doing in the patron Facebook groups, Randy.
I know we've been doing this. We've been on a long time and you got to go and I got to go, but I've a question just popped into my head.
Okay.
Have you ever had a patron make the show? Kellen a patron?
Kellen was not a patron.
So was Nick a patron?
Nick was a patron and then went on the show and won.
I know. After he's on the show, does he end his patron?
No, he stayed on.
Pays?
But I wouldn't let somebody who was like if somebody from this season said, "Oh, hey, I want to be a patron now." I wouldn't let them be a patron. I'd say like that's like a conflict of interest. But if somebody was a patron and then they get on the show, I haven't kicked them out. Laurel is a patron, went on the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Zeke was a long-time patron.
I have really thought about it because I do get way more than $5 a month enjoyment.
Yeah, but I would feel like, and there have been survivors that are like, "Hey, I want to be a patron." And I feel like, well, this is like, you know, it's a weird conflict of interest for me you're going to start.
You know, because you sent me this microphone that had to cost $100. And, you know, I have asked you for certain podcasts that are patron only podcasts, as well as what was the thing you did on the evolution of strategy. I asked for a couple of those that cost money and you just sent them to me free of charge. And, you just say the word and I'll be a patron.
Hey, that's okay, Randy. I appreciate you sitting here and talking to me for 2 hours. And, that is all I need from you.
All right.
Okay.
Happy to do it. It's been fun as always.
Yeah. I'm a little confused what I'm supposed to do now.
Say goodbye to me and then sell those weighted blankets.
Yes. Okay. Randy, this was a pleasure. You seem like you're doing great.
I am.
And I want to wish you nothing but the best.
I'll take it. I need it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans this weekend?
Working Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, No real plans. You know, teaching wears me out. After 5 days of teaching, I'm exhausted. And, you know, I do the Netflix thing and sofa thing on Saturday usually.
What do you watch on Netflix?
Movies.
Twister?
Yeah.
Dave?
No, I've got that on DVD.
All right.
Yeah, I've watched all the classics on Netflix. Dexter, Breaking Bad, Ozark.
Hawaii Five-0.
American Horror Story. What else? Anything.
Yeah. All right. Randy, thank you so much. Follow Randy Bailey 1720 on Twitter. Don't block him. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Adios.